Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, the risen and ascended King, Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from Acts chapter 1. We'll read Luke's account from the book of Acts of Jesus' Ascension Day. He writes, "I wrote my first book, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began doing and teaching until the day he was taken up, after he had given instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After he had suffered, he presented himself alive to the apostles with many convincing proofs. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and told them things about the kingdom of God. Once, when he was eating with them, he commanded them, 'Do not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for what the Father promised, which you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.' So when they were together with him, they asked, 'Lord, is this the time when you are going to restore the kingdom to Israel?' He said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth.' After he said these things, he was taken up while they were watching, and a cloud took him out of their sight. They were looking intently into the sky as he went away. Suddenly, two men in white clothes stood beside them. They said, 'Men of Galilee, why are you standing here looking up into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven.'" These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. So did you see the Aurora Borealis, or the Northern Lights as they're known, over the past few nights? I did not see them in person, but I saw a number of great pictures, even from the Bay Area. There was some really fantastic shots by the Golden Gate Bridge area of those Northern Lights in all their splendor. Of course, I have friends and family in the Midwest, and I saw many of their photos, and our pastor in Canada had some really amazing shots, and he kind of made a joke. He said, the funny thing was the lights were actually brighter to the south than they were to the north, even though they're called the Northern Lights. I have, however, seen the Northern Lights before. Once when I was in college, they appeared one night, and some friends of mine and I went to the top of a high hill in the city where our college is, and we sat there for a good long time just watching the Northern Lights, talking about school, talking about life, and just talking about how unreal that scene was, how amazing these lights were. If you've seen them before, it is a sight you will never forget. I certainly will never forget the sight that night. Can you imagine the unreal scene the disciples saw that day as they looked up into the sky? I'll say with great certainty that this was an even more incredible sight than even the Northern Lights. Jesus, their risen Savior, their teacher, their friend, was now ascending into the sky, lifting up off the ground into the sky, higher and higher, until a cloud finally hides them from their sight. I always picture them as I'm reading through that text, standing there, looking up, probably mouths open, standing in amazement, watching Jesus as he departs from them, looking intently into the sky as he went away. Maybe some of them are trying to, you know, look to the side and get one more glimpse of him as he passes behind the cloud. And out of nowhere, two men dressed in white appear right next to this crowd of onlookers. We know these were angels sent from God. And they said, "Men of Galilee, why are you standing here looking up into the sky? This same Jesus who's been taken up from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Why are you standing here looking up into the sky? Are those angels serious? Of course they were standing there looking up into the sky. No one had ever seen anything like this before. Jesus had just lifted up off the ground and ascended up into the sky, of course they'd be standing there, staring in amazement. I think we probably would have done the same thing if we were there that day. But think of what else the apostles had seen and heard. Think of the words of verse 3 that we read from this first chapter of Acts, where Luke tells us, after Jesus had suffered, he presented himself alive to the apostles with many convincing proofs. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and told them things about the kingdom of God. These men had heard Jesus' teachings. They had witnessed Jesus' miracles firsthand. They were eyewitnesses of so many events in Jesus' life, including the events of Holy Week. They saw Judas, one of their own, betray Jesus into the hands of his enemies. They watched their Lord, their friend, their Savior, get brutally beaten by the Roman soldiers and hung on that horrible cross. They viewed Jesus' death from the foot of that cross. They heard his cries from the cross with their own ears and heard him declare, "It is finished." Their hearts were burdened with sorrow as Jesus' body lay in the grave. And then they were filled with unimaginable joy when they saw Jesus again after he had risen from the dead. Now they just heard Jesus teaching them things about the kingdom of God. They saw him during those 40 days after his resurrection and before his ascension. And in his last words, some of his last words to them before he ascends, Jesus tells them, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Jesus did not want them to just stay there, staring up, looking into the sky, looking where he had been. No. God sent these two angels to, so to speak, snap them out of their daydream, to remind them that God had work for them to do, and to remind them that Jesus would return again someday in the same way that they saw him leave. We may not have experienced these events of the Ascension Day with our own eyes or our own ears physically, like the apostles did. But with eyes and ears of faith, we have seen and heard the events of Jesus' life, death, resurrection, and his ascension as they're recorded for us in the Bible. The Holy Spirit recorded these things for us so that we would believe them, and that by faith they would become as real for us as they were for those men who experienced them firsthand. We have watched the agony of Christ's suffering and death. Through the pages of Scripture, we have heard his cries from the cross as he completed the payment, the full payment, for our sins. We felt the sorrow of his burial, and we experienced the great joy of his resurrection on Easter, hearing that cry, "He is risen." Our ears have also heard him tell us to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. And today we have even seen him ascend to the right hand of his Father in heaven to rule over all things. We've also heard the words of God's messengers, his angels, tell us that Jesus will return again in the same way that we have seen him go into heaven. We have witnessed these things that made the apostles look up into the sky, to look toward Jesus with amazement. But in the same way, Jesus does not want us just to stand here looking up in amazement. He wants us also to move forward. Do we always fully understand and apply to our lives what this message of Christ's ascension means to us? Do we realize its importance? Do we realize the confidence and the courage Jesus' ascension gives to us? Well, remember those incredible words that Paul wrote in our reading from earlier from Ephesians, that at Christ's ascension, God the Father seated him, Jesus, at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule, authority, power, and dominion, and above every name that is given, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. God also placed all things under his feet and made him head over everything for the church. The church is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Jesus, the one who fills everything, the one who has all things under his feet, that text says Jesus is right now at God's right hand, ruling over all things for the church. That's us. For you and me, working all things out for our good, preparing a place for us in heaven. Knowing this, are we just going to keep standing here, staring into the sky, looking up intently into the heavens? Well, the apostles certainly didn't. And we can follow their example. We read those words from the end of the Gospel of Luke, those incredible words. And while he was blessing them, he parted from them and was taken up into heaven. And what was the disciples, the apostles' response to this? Luke says, so they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. They were continually in the temple courts, praising and blessing God. Amen. They certainly did not stay there staring into the heavens. They praised God, they worshiped him, they returned with joy, and they spread the message of Jesus, the risen and ascended Savior. We know this especially from the book of Acts, the book that we've been going through in our Bible studies. These men spread this message of the crucified and risen Savior to thousands of people wherever they went. These men were witnesses of Christ, and they became witnesses for Christ. Through the Scriptures, the Bible, we too have been made witnesses of Christ. And Jesus calls us through that same word to be witnesses for Christ. Remember those words of Jesus just before he ascended, before he took his visible presence from us and ascended to heaven. He said to his disciples, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. We are here as a result of the disciples carrying out that commission. But those words also do apply to us. Jesus was telling them, in a sense, start close to home, in Jerusalem, where they were, and expand from there. Spread the gospel in ever-widening circles until it goes across the face of the whole earth. That's exactly what you and I can do. That's exactly where you and I can start, close to home. Maybe even within our own home, in our own family, in our own neighborhoods, in our own cities. The point is to start. Through the words of Scripture, we look up and we see once again our ascended Savior. A sight that is more incredible and even more awe-inspiring than the Northern Lights. May his ascension to his heavenly throne inspire us and give us the confidence and courage to move forward and be his witnesses to the world. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.